There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
You have one new voice message. New voice messages.
Hi, Rosie. It's Helen. Oh my goodness. It's New Year's Eve. It's 2019. It's going to be 2020. And we're not spending New Year's together, just like last year. Once again, through no fault of my own, you've just got other things you want to do, which is fine because I don't even care. Because if I cared, I'd say, but I don't care. So, like, whatever. It's what a year we've had. Like, I feel like we just need to, like, do an episode of Daddy Look At Me where we just say thank you to everyone that has listened to any episode and, like, how much it means. Because I think we're both aware, like, we're so annoying and our voices are so fucking exhausting. And, like, full respect to anyone who's listened to it. So we just need to, like, make an episode. Maybe Jack could do it so we don't have to do any work. Of just, like, putting together clips of, like, our favourite moments. Maybe, like, the beef thing. I don't know. You can figure out the details. But we just need to say, like, thank you and I love you. And please keep continuing listening to our podcast next year because it means a lot. And you guys are all amazing. Anyway, you'll figure it out. Love you, Daddy. Bye.
Deleted.
Hello and welcome to Daddy Look At Me,
a podcast where myself, Helen Bauer and Rosie Jones sit down and talk to our favourite people from the world of showbiz about attention, childhood and of course, Daddy.
Great to have you here. Now let's crack on with the show.
Hey, Rosie.
Hello, Helen.
Thanks. How are you? Oh, you know what? Just fucking great.
Where have you been?
Hanging out with you all day.
But where have you been this weekend?
McClunkless, a comedy festival.
Me too.
What a coincidence.
But I didn't see you.
No.
And I didn't see anyone.
You did the most incredible ninja move for a comedy festival ever.
I was such a ninja. My show was at 9 p.m. Mm-hmm. I got there at 9:15. Our show sold out.
90-seater. She got
completely unnecessary.
Sorry, Nish, you're actually not an official guest yet. So talking to the microphone is absolutely mental. You're talking over. She's got fucking daddy issues. Work on yourself. Sorry, we should have made that clear, but I feel like it was pretty obvious, right, Jack?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's my turn.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Oh, great. And now Rosie's crying. And now she's crying. Oh, Rosie, no. Oh, God. Nish, what is wrong with you? Fucking psychopath.
First of all, you're 3 hours late.
Egging towards 4, to be honest.
And you made me cry.
You made me feel unsafe when you walked in. You went in for a hug and I was like, he's going to hit. I've heard the things.
Do you want me to tell you about the time I pretended I broke my legs?
Anything about attention, just go for it.
My parents left me and my cousins with our nana a lot. My cousins lived up in Surbiton and I'm still good mates with them and all, but they we didn't get on that well when we were little kids and now we're tight. It's weird. Anyway, our nana obviously was just a very wholesome woman. And wanted to do healthy, creative things. We weren't allowed much telly, we weren't allowed sweets. Fuck that shit, do you know what I mean? By this point, in that context, I was naughty. My cousin George wasn't, but Dan and I corrupted Georgina. And and there was one time where Nana suggested a walk, you know, just a nice country walk.
Oh, lovely, in Surbiton. Oh, gorgeous.
No, well, this was down in Dorset, in Durlston.
Oh, beautiful. Lovely.
Got out of the car and I pretended to fall over in immediately pretended to fall over and have hurt myself. And Nana was obviously very concerned because she's a kind human being. And every time she turned around, I was like, flipping her the V's and laughing at my cousins who were like, you little fucking prick. And I got to sit in the car while they had to go on their boring, boring walk.
Yeah.
And it was before phones, but I was so happy just sat in the car. And then when we got back in the car, Nana tried to play me and was like, oh, I can't see any swelling, so you must have broken your leg, so we're going to go to the hospital and get you checked. And I was like, nah, I feel better now.
God,
what a nasty little shit.
I know you'd like me to say that I didn't get enough attention, and this is just one big story.
No, no,
I
to say anything. Why are you being like that?
There is a preconceived neglect narrative that you've brought into this room. It serves your podcast well if I was neglected as a child.
I mean, I'd rather that, but like...
Of course, that's what you want. We all want to get into the iTunes top 10 with some trauma, but this isn't the Griefcast, and I broadly had a very nice time at school.
You know what? I listened to the Griefcast. It's very good.
It's a very good podcast.
It's very good.
If only someone I knew could die so I could get on it.
You must have had someone die.
Yes, but
how about your childhood spirit at 7 when you got sent away?
Great stuff. That's really good, but I don't think Carrie Ann's wasting an hour of her time on that. not like you chumps.
Whoa! Ivo, I'm going to need you to give me and Rosie a compliment each right now.
Oh, right.
Right, back to me, though. Do you...
that's going to be a constant problem.
I think
everyone...
Do you think I look cool or do you think I look stupid?
I think you look cool. I just think you look like you have a daddy issue.
Oh, and I 100% do.
Yeah.
Because I thought I was going to go to therapy and be all, like, original and, like, have, like, created this new kind of mental health ailment. But she was like, oh, no, just another lesbian with daddy issues.
Did she actually say that?
She said that she was like, I think you have issues with around your father. And then I was like, nah. And then
nah. But I do think about him when I go to bed at night and first thing in the morning.
I cry a lot.
No, it's like idealising my dad and sort of like wanting to live up to his heady heights. And
what is that? Since being really little.
I'm not sure. I think it must have been formed when I was really little. Mm-hmm. But I always remember just like being in the garden with my dad, playing football with my dad.
Yeah.
And just thinking he was like the greatest guy ever. Which he is. He's a great guy.
Yeah. Do you have siblings?
I have a brother.
And do you think him and your dad had a really good relationship?
No.
No, not per se. Like, they don't have a bad relationship. I just know that my brother's gone off on a different path that my dad wouldn't have expected him to go off, and I think he's found it quite hard to like reconcile that.
Yeah. Wow. This is so deep. I'm fucking
Does he do?
My brother?
Yeah.
He works at a car showroom doing like inventories of the new cars that come in. He'll like take photos of them and check that everything's good, the doors.
Yeah. That feels like a classic Kent son job.
It is a classic Kent son job. Yes.
100%. Where are you from, Kent? What do you work in? Cars. Makes sense. That's fucking done. Let's go strawberry picking at the weekend. Bloody lovely. The wife will make a jam. sorry, I've gigged in Kent and fucking hell. Like,
I mean, you have just described my childhood.
I'm very good at Kent. Every time I arrive to gig in Kent, I get off the train and I'm like, fucking hell, is it St. George's Day? It's a lot of St. George's flags. And it's not. And then I go on stage and I'm like, you just don't want me to talk at all. Like, it's weird. But I did die on stage in Gravesend, but Pocahontas dies in Gravesend. So something that
me
and Pocahontas. What? She did. Does she? Does she die there?
Does she die there?
Does Pocahontas go to Gravesend and die? She did that one time, my love.
Is
yeah.
Is she real?
Pocahontas? Yes.
Oh, Rosie.
You must know that. She was like 13 and John Smith was like, come with me.
No,
and then she got TB. It was an absolute nightmare for her.
Get yourself a smear test and read up on Pocahontas.
Oh, was it Pocahontas?
Oh, what did you say?
Pocahontas.
Oh, I don't really care.
Oh, I immediately just started crumbling then. Because I see you as, I feel like you're like a dad figure for me. And I know Rosie's going to be really pissed off because Rosie's technically my daddy. Yeah. But
what, don't you want to be a mum? And then we could be a power couple.
I'm daddy.
Really?
No, you know that. Like, I am the daddy. I think you should, Helen, tell the listeners what you called Chloe and me.
Okay.
Have you been calling me something behind my back?
Oh, you're fully aware of this. My ability to keep things behind people's backs is fucking zero. Right. So I think of Chloe. Chloe's a year 9 boy who's like distracted by tits when she walks down the street. And she just like, me and Chloe lived together. And she was like walking down the street. So like, oh, that, okay. And like, I'm stressed about my GCSE options. Like, oh man. Like, oh my God, miss, I'm trying to listen to what you say, but your body is just, it's beautiful, right? And like, just like proper year 9 boy, like we playing football later or what, lads? And that's what Chloe is. And everyone I've said it to, which is literally everyone, is like, Chloe's a year 9 boy. Yeah. You're every boy I went to school with in year 9. And then Rosie's a fuck boy.
I'm not a fuck boy.
Yeah, you are.
I'm a romantic.
She fancies women. She stalks them. She negs them. She makes out with other women around them. Takes the women on dates when they're around so they can see a date in them.
That?
Yeah, I know.
Do you actually do that?
Yeah,
really?
She's a player.
I've defended you so much.
And then people say, like, oh, Rosie, oh, she's so sweet. Have you seen her comedy? It's just her raping women. What? It's non-consensual sex. It's always like,
then a fucker.
Yeah, exactly. Rosie is a very successful, brilliant comedian, but 60% of her punchlines are, and then I fucked her. And that's it.
Yeah.
I think I was in just about in the cool group.
Just about.
Here's how I define it. I've defined it before. I was invited to all the parties, but I wasn't invited to the gatherings.
Okay, right, I know the level you're at. That's actually quite a nice
place
to be in.
Yeah. So I was at all the big ones, but as soon as it was like, oh, what are we doing tonight? It's like, oh, there's a gathering. It's like, okay, everyone's getting off with each other and I'm not invited.
But you were aware the party was an addition for the gathering?
Yeah, so yeah, I knew I was on the long guest list, but once it got shortened down. Yeah.
I think that's around that age when you're aware of the parties and gatherings where you need to have something good at the party to make sure you're invited to the gathering.
Yeah.
And that's where me and my friend Anna Grant figured out that she could lie on the floor, kick her legs up, and we could she could like hang off my body and we could drum each other's bums in a circle. And fuck me, did the boys love that. And we perfected that skill.
That wouldn't have got you into the good gatherings at my school.
What school did you go to?
King's College School, Wimbledon. It was a boys' school, you wouldn't have got in anyway.
Oh, 6'1" with a broad back. A pretty good fucking chance, actually. I'm telling us what we can do. Bloody hell.
You sound exactly like all the boys I went to school with.
Bloody hell. Where's my canoe? Do posh people canoe? I don't know, I'm panicking.
Yeah, we had a whitewater raft to school.
No. Because there is water near Wimbledon.
Yeah. But it's, you know, the school's not in a river.
Oh my God. Were you around the time when that Wimbledon strangler was going on?
No.
That strangling or decapitation. What was it?
That?
Wimbledon Common, they found a head or something.
Yeah, it started shortly after I started at the school and finished when I left. So
exciting.
Interesting.
Do you think there was a link?
Not saying.
So because it was a boys' school, what did you feel about girls? Were they like...
What did I feel about them?
Yeah.
In your penis.
Secret feelings.
Were they like scary or did you seek them out?
I mean, this is lost on a podcast, but Rosie's doing the creepiest hand gesture I've ever seen in my life. Seek them out, where she sort of grabs at the air and pulls it towards her.
I don't think it's creepy. I think she's just disabled, Ed, and having a bit.
All right, sorry. Is that what you do? Do you need help?
Yeah. It's a spasm.
Oh, shit. Oh, I get it wrong all the time. Oh.
Don't be embarrassed, though.
There were, like, girls' schools nearby as well, so we were, like, we used to hang out on Wimbledon Common with girls and stuff.
But do you remember your first one that you were like, I need to get her to look at me?
Yeah, all of them immediately. I need you all to look at me now. And that'll do, to be honest. Just have a little look.
I don't want to make like a general assumption, but I feel like boys that go to all boys schools, because I live quite close to an all boys school, Salesian College, and they all looked quite similar. So how do you stand out from the pack, though?
I was I did stand out from the pack. I was quite overweight.
I'm going to set the scene quickly. You're on Wimbledon Common.
Yeah.
It's 2005.
Oh,
2004?
No. We're way earlier.
Oh, my bad. 2002.
Okay, we'll go with... That would have been later. 2002 is a good
oh, well, I said that one already.
You didn't correct me the first time.
2002, correct, Helen.
I'm not good
at
maths. I'm not good at maths.
No, but just, you know what I mean? If you're good at it, just like work on yourself. 2002. We said 2002 now. 2002. We're on Wimbledon Common. There's heads everywhere.
Yeah.
There's a killer on the loose. No connection. Yeah. We think.
We hope.
There's a group of boys. Yeah. They're all dressed the same. They're white water rafting gear. Yeah. They've left it in their lockers at school. There's a group of girls. Short skirts, Britney Spears style.
Oh,
ties,
yes.
But fat, chubby little ties.
Yeah.
You're in a group. They're in a group.
Yeah.
They keep on glancing over. Yeah. You need to stand out.
Yeah. Well, I stood out by being quite overweight and I dressed differently. I was a bit of a goth sort of metalhead.
Fucking brilliant.
Had a leather trench coat.
Oh, great.
Leather trench coat and boots, like biker boots with flames on them.
No, you did not.
Yes.
No.
Yeah. Black nail varnish quite often. Really? Dyed my hair black now and again, yeah.
Eyeliner.
I didn't really veer down. Maybe a couple of times, but I didn't really go for the eyeliner. But yeah, definitely black nail varnish.
I did not see that coming.
Right. Well, it's still the sort of music that I like, but I just got rid of the look.
You're wearing a pink hoodie with Betty Boop on it.
Yes, I've changed my look.
It's a confident change. Were you called like Ed the Goth? Because there was one goth in our time. We called him Gavin the Goth.
No, it was because we were kind of all into that sort of music for a bit. And then everyone had that phase. And then everyone else got out the phase. And I just stayed in the phase.
Oh, no. I like phase.
Yeah.
Do you remember that moment when they all moved on and you were like, come on guys, let's wash, let's wash, and they're like, no, come on, it's Mambo Number 5 time.
We were all on Wimbledon Common, and they were dressed like Lou Bega. I think it was kind of all right. I think that was just my thing. I didn't get called Ed the Goth
to your face, my
to
love
to my face. Yeah.
So I used to fancy a boy so much when I was in year 10, 11,
great.
Sort of 15, 16.
Yeah.
And I fancied him so much, and he was diabetic. Yeah. And I knew that because he sat next to me. He used to have to like get that machine out prick himself. And at one point he was like, I need to go and get some sugar. So they had to send him to the nurse to go and get... like a chocolate bar. I mean, what the dream.
Yeah.
And they were like, can we have somebody to walk him? Make sure he gets there to the... So I walked Matthew to the school nurse to make sure that he got his glucose.
Good.
And from then on, I was like, this is the man for me. And how can he turn me away? Because I walked to the nurse's office. To get glucose. Yeah. And there used to be a nightclub for like under 18s. Remember them?
Right. We had snap discos, like Say No and Phone. It was like run by the police.
Oh, no. So this was a nightclub that, like, Saturday nights, normal nightclub.
I think that's a northern thing, my love.
And then it was called Carrington's. And on Friday nights, it was under 18s. So you would drink all of the alcohol you could before you got, because you can't get served.
What nightclub closes on a Friday night to let teenagers in?
Well, because my town, there's no university near it, there's just young kids, so they were like, we're not going to get students in.
Yeah, but likewise, we were just told to not, we're just in the field.
Well, we did fields as well, don't get us wrong, that was Saturday night.
Oh.
Friday night was Carrington's. And I remember everyone just think, like everyone saying that they were going to Carrington's and all of this. And it was like the last week of school, you know, when you could bring in a DVD to watch.
Yeah. Oh, big time.
Yeah, and Matthew brought in the film White Chicks.
Are we great at that?
Classic.
Yeah,
classic.
I think it's a staple of our culture.
How we slag off Babe, but White Chicks were like, fucking up. Oscar it.
Absolutely. Like, Terry Crews was robbed of an Oscar. So we watched it, and there's this scene in White Chicks where they have a dance off.
Yeah.
And there's like a full routine.
Oh, we're familiar with it.
I just remember sitting next to Matthew in this lesson, and he was absolutely wetting himself at this scene. And still to this day, if I can make a boy laugh,
I love it.
So I was like, I'm gonna learn the dance. So I went home and learned the dance, and then went to Carrington's.
How long did it take you to learn it?
I didn't watch the whole. I just fast forwarded the film to that bit.
Yeah, I did that with High School Musical.
Just kept replaying it. Just kept replaying it until I learned it. So maybe like I got home, yeah, I got home about 4. I know I had to go to Joe Dunbar's house for pre-drinks.
Big shout out to Joe Dunbar there.
Big shout out to Joe Dunbar.
What were the pre-drinks?
So Bacardi Breezers.
Great.
Blue WKDs.
Yes. Yes.
And then like I just bought whatever I could find in my dad's
Oh
like,
yeah, the mix
cupboard.
Bowl. Yeah.
Yeah, so he would have all these like things. So it's like probably like a brandy. Or,
and like, a port, flow gin.
Yeah, yeah.
Classic.
So Bacardi Breezers, WKDs, and then like a random bottle of like Cointreau or something, right. Just drinking it straight. And then Joe would always have a, you know, like a smart price plastic litre bottle of cider.
Yes.
Yeah, that was just down whilst listening to Bass Hunter or Cascada.
Oh,
and
God,
I said to Joe, I was like, I'm gonna make Matthew want to fancy me. Just leave it with me, Joe. I've got it. All we need to do is ask for the song It's Tricky to be played. And Joe was like, this is amazing. This is like, I can't wait to see what your plan is. And she wasn't in that class where we watched It's White Chick, so she didn't know what was coming up. And I requested the song. I was on the dance floor. Matthew was there. And I did the whole dance.
Oh my God. Eye contact or focused?
Eye contact the whole time with him. And like, including the whole, like, you know that move where you like throw out the fishing
rod? The lasso, yeah.
Yeah. He tried to do that and he just wasn't
reeling him in.
Wasn't lassoing back.
Oh my God.
So I think like maybe like a minute into the routine, I was like, I don't know if he's feeling this. You know?
But a minute like in, you realise that?
Like a true
fucking hell, Maisie.
Like a true professional, I committed to the routine and danced until the end.
Oh, you can get a vibe within 10 seconds, 60 seconds.
Yeah, I know.
It's a lot of Bacardi Breezer, isn't it?
Oh. What show was he looking at you?
He's watching me the whole time and all these other boys were going, like, what's Maisie Adam doing? I think in my head as well, I thought I was doing it really well, but obviously I was like 20 Bacardi Breezes down.
Oh, God.
So I actually think I probably just look like,
the T-string man.
Yeah, more like, you know those things outside a washing, car wash. Like, I think I look like that. So, I just remember him coming up to me at the end and being like, what was that? And I was like, it was the dance from White Chicks. And he was like, oh, right, okay, yeah, cool. And then he walked right past me and started dancing with this girl who was from our class. And
fucking
I just remember
bitch.
Watching it. Yeah, and the next song came on and then they started. We used to call it pulling.
Yeah.
Like he pulled her.
Yeah, 100%.
I just remember watching them kiss and I was still sweating from the dance. Still sweating from the dance. And then, so that night, Joe, who I'd been pre-drinking with, got so drunk that she was not allowed into the nightclub.
Yeah.
So she got taken home, I think, in an ambulance.
Oh, Joe Dunbar.
And they were like, well, where the hell's the other one that you were drinking with?
Yeah.
Where's Maisie? So nobody knew where I was. And so not only had I just been pied off by this diabetic Matthew, that was what he was known as.
That's his full name.
Because there was loads of Matthews at
diabetic
school.
Matthew.
Yeah, so there was football Matthew, diabetic Matthew and French Matthew.
Oh, poor diabetic Matthew.
Yeah.
That's, okay, right, yeah.
I know, I didn't even fancy the best one. So... And I was there just like...
We do wish him well, though.
Just watching him getting with Maddie and thinking, like, that should be me. And I was still sweating from this routine. And then the song is, like, killed. And over the tannoy comes, if Maisie Adams in here, can she make her way to the entrance? Her dad's waiting for her.
Oh, fuck off. Come on, Phil. Come on.
My dad had had a phone call being like, Joe is paralytic. Where's Maisie? And obviously my dad was like, bloody hell, where is she?
Yeah.
And he... that was his way of finding out if
so
I was in the
nightclub. So
he drove to Carrington.
Asked the security guard, give a shout out for Maisie.
Yeah, over the DJ.
Oh, babe, I'm sorry.
It was awful.
Your dad came to pick you up and it was announced.
Mm-hmm. I really want to get into Disneyland, but I'm trying to think how.
Well, you already have done it, haven't you? You've done it. It's been
done. No, but it was a thing at our school, like, because we did loads of drama stuff in the summer and stuff, but I wanted to always just go on like one of the classic family holidays.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was like, there was a phase, and I swear everyone at my junior school went to Portugal to a beach or to Alicante, and that was the thing to do.
Yeah.
And they all went to Disneyland, and we never did any of those trips.
It's expensive.
Yeah, it's really expensive.
Like thousands of pounds to take kids to
Disneyland.
Did you go?
Yeah, Snail, did you go to Disneyland?
That was so professionally done and I just laughed in your face. Just you look so earnest and he's like, did you? You know what's about to happen.
Yeah, because you told
us about
it.
You know what we're about to talk about. Well, Rosie, that's an interesting story actually behind the word Disneyland for me. No, you did so well. Right, so two things. Yes, I have been. I went when I was 21 with
Uncross
my three
aunts. Uncross your arms,
please. Yeah, I went when I was 21 with my three aunts. That was a nightmare. But yeah, you want me to talk about the time my dad went to Disney World without me?
I want to talk about both because they're just both such harrowing experiences.
I think
for a parent to go to Disneyland without their child is just awful.
And to bring home the photo album of what he was doing
with him with the characters and just show you.
Just him like stand, you know, like when like people don't know what to do in photos, so they just stand stock still. So it's just like not even smiling or hugging anyone, just like standing in front just to show they've been to the Epcot Center.
That's a bad relationship with your dad. Like, he went to did you know he was going before he went? Or did
he said, I'm going to Disneyland. I'm going to Disney World.
And then he just went.
Yeah, he just went.
And how old were you?
8.
It's such a rough age.
In his defence, he was working in the Bahamas. Yeah. So he was like, do you know what? I'm going to go to Disney World while I'm out there.
Just by himself? As
yeah,
like
he told me,
man.
I'm going to the Bahamas to work and I'll probably go to Disneyland as well.
And you were like, oh, that'd be fun. Let me
like,
come
yeah, well, I said,
you.
Can I come? But he genuinely said, like, well, how are you going to afford it?
We've already booked theatre camp.
And it's like, well, yeah.
And did he get pictures with loads of the characters?
None of the characters. He was just standing in front of Space Mountain.
No, it's not smiling.
Just like not smiling. With like those weird, like slightly tinted glasses they had in those times. Just, you know, like slightly dodgy looking guy. Like what is one small bearded Indian man with tinted glasses just on his own in Disney World? Just getting people to take photos of him to prove he'd been there.
You've got to ask someone to take it.
Yeah, you have to ask someone to take it. There's no selfies.
So devastating.
Yeah, this is a film camera. He paid to get it developed and everything at Disney World. So I had the full book to show he'd been to Disney.
So was he on his own?
He went on his own, yes.
There is this an image I have in my head and it's really haunting. I don't know, like,
go on.
Do you have like framed pictures of him at Disneyland at your house?
No.
Does your mum still have them?
No. None of them framed at Disney World. That would be an absolute kick in the teeth, wouldn't it?
But then what happened between 8 and 21? That at 21 you're like, no, I'm going to Disneyland now and I'm taking my two aunts.
No,
like,
my mum wanted to go to America to visit the rest of my family. And then as part of that, because she'd never been to Disney World, she was like, let's go to Disney World. I was like, I have never been given the choice to go to Disney World by either of my parents. One's made me go and one went without me. So I had to go to... I didn't want to go to Disney World at 21.
Yeah. No, it's a
because my aunts had been loads of times. So they ran this scam at Disney World, which is terrifying, where if you buy a reusable mug, you can use it to have drinks anywhere in the resort at that time. So they used last year's mug, which was slightly faded. So every time we went for dinner, it was just terrifying. I thought we were going to get thrown out.
Yeah.
And the whole thing was just so stressful. I
did
hated
they go on
everything.
Rides with you? Was it like...
No, they said they act when I'm 21. They're like they think I'm still 11, so they're like, right, we'll wait outside this roller coaster for you. And I'm like, I don't
take you down. We'll hold you.
Exactly. And then like we'll get some photos done of you with the characters. And I'm like, I don't want to be here.
Were you like always paving their way as the older sister?
I think so. And then, like, the tables have turned as we become adults and I've become the one that needs the most help.
I have no recollections of ever seeing what you do and wanting to do it.
You mean, like, moving to Canada to do comedy and then we started doing Flo and
Except
Joan.
For that.
Yeah, that kind of little crucial
Except,
one.
But, sorry, but I mean, when we were... Yeah, that one, yeah, huge.
That was a pretty fucking big one.
I owe you a lot for that one.
Yeah, you do.
But when we were younger, I feel like we were different enough that I rarely wanted what you wanted.
Yeah, I think that's right.
And they're probably like toys.
And what
and
was
stuff.
It about looking at Nicola and thinking, I don't want that? Like, what was.
To see for yourself.
It was the.
She's fun! Army of...
you were definitely more studious and like you enjoyed organising things and things like that.
You make me sound like a square.
Well, no, it's just, no, not at all. You were just. And I was probably more outside and wanting to kick balls and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So you were outside kicking balls and you were inside, what, reading
Playing
Jane
music.
Austen?
No.
Right. Yours definitely has more value for when you're older.
I don't know. But, we just did different things. So there wasn't any...
But that's good then. Was there, like, no competition between you then? Because if you're doing different things...
I don't think there was.
Oh, this is awful when we find out that one of you is like, no, we got along really well. And it's like, we fucking hated each other.
Yeah. We did similar things. Like, we went and did dancing together and we liked shows and things like that.
Oh, wait, what sort of dancing did you do?
Oh, the classics, tap, jazz, ballet, modern, limbering.
Oh, did you start when you were like four?
Not doing this, no. But we always went dancing. And mum was like,
my best friend's sister was a dancing teacher. So, and like, your parents are just like, I need things for my children to do after school.
Yeah.
And my best friend was an amazing dancer, so I was like, cool, I want to do that. And so my mum was like, great, that's a couple of hours after
school. I thought tap dancing was the coolest thing of all time.
I fucking love it. Oh,
you heard it. So gross. Oh, do you both fucking love it together?
We fucking love it. Genuinely though, I will watch YouTube videos of like old school tap dancing.
Yes. Yeah.
Just real showmen.
It's incredible.
Tap dancing.
And because they're one shot as well. That's what's amazing. It's like, oh, how do you remember this?
Yeah. It blows my old school, old films where they dance. Yeah. I could watch it for years.
Oh man. Did you ever do tap dancing, Rosie?
No.
Did you ever do any dance classes, actually? Never.
My mum wouldn't let me.
No!
Really?
We don't know that. You could have been great at it.
In fairness, our mum didn't like... I don't think she liked it, and she identified quite quickly that I wasn't that great at it and was like, if you don't want to do it anymore, you don't have to.
Oh, she didn't tell you. She was just sort of like, but we can quit anytime.
Yeah, if you want to. Anything else, because she was always very much like, you stick to the things that you've committed to.
Yeah.
But with me and dancing, she was like, if you feel at any point that you don't want to do this anymore, I'm not going to make you... Like, this seems off-brand.
And were you encouraged to keep going?
Yes, very much.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Rosie used to win a lot. You were very, very good. And cute. Winner. Like,
did you compete?
Blonde. Yeah.
We did the festivals and things like
that. Oh, my God, like Dance Moms?
I fucking love Dance Moms.
I got naked for attention when I was about 8. There was I was on a baseball team and there was a party and all the... I feel I was one of the leaders and we all took off our clothes and just ran around the house naked.
Great.
And I really remember feeling powerful and sexual and thrilled. Yeah. Like, I saw it as a sexual act. I don't know how, but I saw it as me showing my my sexual confidence even at 8.
Yes! Yeah. You're aware that it's something that not everyone has the confidence to do.
Yes.
Even if you don't actually feel confident, you're like, I'm going to pretend I am.
I knew what a peacock at 8.
I knew how to at 4, so who wins that?
How many of you were there?
Probably a team. That was a baseball team, so 20 people maybe. 20.
Oh my God.
When I say people, I mean small boys.
But I'm the one instructor.
In the memory, like if I think of the memory, obviously at the time, you know, you're just... You don't think I am a child. You just think I am me. So in the memory, I'm an adult. But when I look back and think of the reality of the situation, I was just sitting there staring at a bunch of naked children.
Yeah.
Bobby, do you remember being in any like school plays or anything like that? Were you a showy, dramatic child?
Yeah, I always wanted to be, but I hated all the girls who were in drama.
No.
They were all the Christian girls who did drama, and they were quite boring, and I felt uncomfortable around them because they all seemed like they come from like good homes and had this like stability. Trend. And then I just felt like an alien around them, so I never partook. But I think I would... But in the 8th grade, then I got cast in a play by my teacher, Mrs. Lockwood, who was a miserable woman. And she kept hurting her back and then quitting teaching and then coming back like 2 years later. She really hated teaching.
Oh my God, that's all bullshit.
I know,
that
I know. She was faking a back injury.
Because she get full pay for like a year, so she
can't. No, she kept just scamming the system. Yeah. She hated teaching. But she wrote, I can't remember if she wrote it. I think she did. What was amazing was the teacher would write the play.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, so she wrote a play and cast people, but she didn't cast me in that. But then the next year they did Wizard of Oz and I played
the Scarecrow.
No, but I could totally see that for you.
The Cowardly Lion.
Oh, that's a great role.
It was only one performance, but the day before I got very sick, vomited, went home, but then the next day I came back triumphant and performed as the Cowardly Lion.
Oh, you've been such a great liar.
I know. This was pre-beard, but I still think I had the essence of a beard.
Was that your first time on stage?
Yeah, that would have been it.
No way.
Did you crush it?
I did okay. I don't think I killed, really, but I did all right. Yeah.
Were you singing?
I don't remember. I don't care, remember.
I would love it if in Canada they did a really soulful, dramatic version.
It was like 22 years ago. It just all blurs together. You know?
I remember all my school plays very vividly.
Really?
Exactly. Every line, every role, every rehearsal.
Well, maybe I am. This part, I don't know. As I've got older, I've got more confidence, as I suppose we all do.
Yeah.
But, there was a time when I didn't.
Weren't you confident as a little Tommy?
Tell us about little Tommy,
I was confident, I think, as a small child.
Yeah.
And apparently, according to my parents, when we went on holiday once to Gran Canaria, I would go around and talk to people as they were sunbathing and make conversations, particularly with old people.
What was the sort of conversation topic for a four-year-old to have?
I think I'd just walk up to them and introduce myself.
Enjoying the break.
Basically, yeah. Isn't it a lovely day? Then I sort of carry that, as I guess everybody does, I carry that with me until school, and then I found school very uncomfortable. I didn't like people my own age, and I was bullied quite a lot at primary school.
Can I guess that your parents didn't put you in kids' clubs in Gran Canaria because they're like, he won't be able to handle it?
No, I would absolutely refuse to go to any kind of kids club.
Completely understand that.
And because with good cause, I didn't like primary school at all because I think of the other children. They were horrible.
Kids are fucking cruel sometimes.
Secondary school I actually found a bit quite a lot easier. I think I was more scared, but actually more of the unpleasantness happened at primary school.
God, I cannot imagine you as a child. Imagine if always been this fabulous.
Oh, I can imagine you as a child, but it's very Dickensian in my head.
And actually, it was just a version of me now. But that's sort of it was. And I always had in my head, like, there's been a terrible mistake.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be.
I am an adult.
I'm an adult. Please stop making me do all these childish things. I don't want to do them.
Did you ever finger paint, or were you always just like, no, get the watercolours out?
Oh, kind of, yeah. And sort of like, what is all this messing around? Like, no, I don't want to go outside and play. Things to get on with. So I never was very good at playing, for example. Never. I just wanted to go home.
I like the idea of you walking down the beach like being a cocktail party. Just sort of like, welcome, lovely white sand, isn't it here?
Yeah,
you don't get like this in Brighton.
And I always loved going to Brighton as a child for picnics. And I was obsessed with picnic campers.
Picnic.
Oh.
What? Like, all the signs were there.
Yeah.
I always wanted like a straw picnic hamper. As
I don't know you that well, but it feels like such a lonely childhood.
It really was,
oh, God. No, because now I'm going to get super emotional for no good
You're
reason.
You're drunk. You'll be fine.
No, I will be in a minute. Jack,
so
get the vodka.
Did you prefer the company of adults?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, me
Do you think that's because you got negative attention from kids? So, like, the adults gave you, like, positive attention?
I think so, yeah. And I think I was, like, a quirky, like, an eccentric child you have. And my mum and dad enjoyed that. My mum especially enjoyed that idea of, like, we don't know why he talks like that, but he does.
Yeah, so your parents don't talk like
that. No, they're very normal people.
wait a second. What's a normal person's voice?
Apparently not mine.
I met your auntie.
You did meet Auntie Pearl in Australia.
Auntie
they
Pearl,
had such a nice time.
And she is so lovely.
She is a nice person.
But she doesn't talk like you.
Are we avoiding the word common? Because I really feel like we are.
I get told off whenever I'm like, I'm from my family, very, I say they're very cockney. I say they're
colloquial.
Very colloquial. Yeah. But they are a bit, you know, like.
So.
Colloquial, I mean.
Do you think you made a conscious decision to talk like that?
Kind of. Or I think I always spoke differently.
Yeah.
And I think. No, so I don't remember it being a decision, but I remember it being different. And my mum would be like, "Ah, oh, we don't know why he talks like that." And so then I don't know. So I think I always, and then people be like, "Why do you talk like that?" Like in Bromley, where I'm from.
Yeah.
They'd be like, "Why do you talk like that?" Like even like my mum and dad's friends are like, "Why do you talk like that?" And your mum and dad talk different, like angry at
you.
Yeah,
me. That's not somewhere where difference is particularly celebrated.
And then went to school like, "Why do you speak like that though? Why do you speak like that?" And I'm like, "I don't know." And because I wasn't proper posh, so I didn't go to like a posh school where everyone was posh. So I went to my normal school and they were like, why do you sound like that? And then they could do impressions of me and then I feel really self-conscious. But what I think the thing is that you can, in those situations, you can either go, oh, I'm going to hide it, or you can go, well, embrace, fuck you, I'm going to be
totally
huge.
Get
and
it. Yeah.
Did you do the latter?
Yes.
Yeah, look at him. Are you seeing? What sort of question is that?
I ended up being sat opposite you.
Lovely pocket square just popping that down.
My pocket square was getting too out of control.
You're wild, Tom. Calm it down. But then you got out of the incubator at some point.
I got out of the incubator. Then I, as a child, was very shy.
Oh,
yeah. I was very shy.
Do you have any siblings?
I do have some siblings. I'm the eldest. Thank you. It's a burden.
How many?
I've got one brother and two half-brothers. Fake brothers. They're both Flasian.
Amazing.
I think in Singapore. Yes. Way. No one knew how that was going to turn out.
Malaysians are tricky ones. You're adorable. In Singapore. Right. It's interesting.
Yeah.
So did you grow up with them?
With the Malaysians? No. They're much younger. Much younger than me. They're like six. No, they're like, they're 8 and 9.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're living their best lives. They won't listen to this. but yeah, little brother called Channing, who's just great. He's just like a golden boy. Everyone loves being around him. He's really happy all the time.
But was that annoying?
That was really annoying.
Yeah.
Because he's just so charismatic without even trying.
Yeah.
He now works in tech.
What? Oh, but he's one of those people who sounds like he could work in anything and everyone would just play his best.
He also loves to cook, which got him loads of attention because everyone's like, he's a boy and he can cook. He can't wash up, but he can cook.
Do you think that's when you first started getting an inkling of like, I can do loads of stuff as well?
Yeah.
Like,
I think there's like a lot of competition when there's two of you because you're just like, well, I know things. So I'd like set him like sort of like activity challenges throughout the day so I could be in charge of them. I'd just
wait,
be like...
Wait, how old were you when you started making your brother do that?
I think probably about 5.
And he was...
He's 3 years younger, so he'd be two.
Two when you put him to work.
Two. One to work at.
I mean, it was kind of age appropriate.
What were the challenges?
So I don't think this would be 2 years old because it's a bit more sophisticated, but I do like treasure hunts and also tell him to jump off things. Like from the closet onto the bed. The top of the closet onto the bed.
It's quite frightening.
It's quite frightening.
Were you doing it as well, or were you testing him?
I'd make him do it first, and then I'd be like, and now I shall...
Oh, my God.
Did you want him to die?
Rosie! Wow. That's such a big question, but did you want him to die?
I think I really loved him.
Aww.
I think when I was little, I think like the Christmas that he was born, there's a picture of me in my beautiful green velvet dress, and I'm holding the baby, and it's like, it's my baby. I'm just like presenting it to the camera, and I'm just like, because I figured out that I would be in more pictures.
Yeah.
So the thing is, like, I was very shy as a child. I think when I started like going to proper school, and like was very shy and introverted, but I always liked being photographed. And I figured out that if I held a baby, I'd be in more photographs.
Yeah.
So clever.
That was
give me that baby.
And then when you went to school, did you start off shy and then slowly came out of your shell?
Yes. Oh. But the thing is that I was really insecure. I was like a very big like bookworm. So my books were my friends. And I was very like, I don't want to invite anyone over to stay. This is quite sad because I was like, you don't have to call someone. Yeah. So like when I ever had to call someone from school, I'd like rehearse the conversation before I did it.
I understand that though, because you're calling their parents first and then you have to ask if they're free.
Yeah.
Like it's quite a lot as a child.
I actually wrote it down like on a piece of paper, like a set list, and I was like, okay. And then I was like, oh, hello, this is Sophie from school. Is Stella home? Can I please be-? And then if they went off script, I'd be like, what's going on?
Yeah. They're like, actually, Stella's not in at the moment. I don't know.
But I did really like that. But yeah, just a picture in a velvet dress. Oh, love that.
That's the best thing.
But yeah, I basically, like many of us, I'm sure, discovered the dramatic arts.
Yeah.
Preach.
Started doing drama in year 8, maybe.
Yeah.
Like at school or at outside?
I went to a drama club. Okay.
Yes, please.
So I went to a drama club after school, but I was never really like pushed to the fore. I think I thought that like my stardom would just come out.
Yeah.
So I just had to be sort of in the room and I didn't have to actually act or do anything. I was in a production of Bugsy Malone when I was little, which is
amazing.
An
but what did you play?
Well, I played a gang member, which sounds like profiling, but actually quite big part. I was in Fat Sam's gang. It was the first nice. Time in my life that I was in Bugsy Malone. The second time I was in Dandy Dan's gang, which is a downgrade.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I was in Fat Sam's gang, and I was very excited about it, and I got my whole family to come. Almost my whole family, because my dad didn't make it.
What? And here we go. We just revisit that old familiar topic.
He promised he would come.
Unbelievable.
But he didn't come.
Where was he?
He was, I think, photocopying some documents.
Oh my God, no. Sophie, no.
For my little brother's visa.
Oh, okay, a visa? I mean, can we allow that one?
I don't know. It wasn't said, so he promised he would come, and he walked in at the curtain call. The whole thing.
Did he try and pretend that he'd been there the whole time?
I was like, I knew you weren't there. And I didn't let him forget it. I've been like for years, like I still tell him about that. I was like, well, you didn't come to Bugsy Malone. He's like,
He could have done that whenever.
Whenever.
I just feel like a visa is sort of like an impending time sort of a thing.
No.
And also like now we know you were in Bugsy Malone twice. Did he make it to the second one?
No.
Okay, well then, fuck him. You know what? Yeah. He's being a prick.
Where was he?
I don't even know. I don't even know where he was. Probably photocopying some documents. I used to think my dad was a spy because he wasn't at a lot of events, but it turns out he's just a flicky.
What? He might be.
No, I thought he was a spy, but it turned out he was just having an affair. So.
Well, don't worry, because you've got a new daddy now.
So I guess...
Yeah.
Don't say, I guess I was an attention seeker if you were going to parties you weren't invited to.
They were
hiding
in
a closet and jumping out. Yeah, but it's not your house then, is it? Like, you're just a kid that lives in the house.
It's my house.
No, okay. Your house.
How scary would it be, though, if every dream you had, you found out was actually true in real life?
Oh, my God.
Because I've had some really fucked up ones. And then as soon as you went, but it's actually true, I'm like, holy fucking shit.
Yeah, exactly.
The things I've done in my dreams.
Oh, my God. But anyway, so I think I must have been.
Yeah.
You know, I don't identify as an attention seeker, but I probably was one.
I don't think anyone wants to identify as it.
Well, you two are doing a great job. You're like,
well, we have to be honest. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, we're being a true self.
You're being the change that we want to see in other ways as well.
It's the change that we want to see in other people.
What sort of attention did you like getting from people at school?
Laughter.
Was it always laughter? Yeah. Nothing romantic? Nothing later?
No, I wanted romantic attention when I was... But I was...
Just the clown.
I was a... I was very unsuccessful with boys.
So cool. Just a clown were you, my love?
Yeah, I was.
Just a faceless, prideless clown, desperately trying to get attention through laughter, was it?
With one tear.
With one tear.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't. I was in with the cool kids.
Congratulations.
Well done.
Oh, we never get the cool kids in here.
Yeah, I was in with them as the person who was funny.
Oh my God, amazing.
So, but it was a little bit humiliating because I knew that's why I was there.
Yeah, yeah.
I moved to a American school in India. It's a long story, but it was a boarding school up in the mountains in India, and it was American, and all the kids were super American and they had like fancy stuff. And I don't know. Well, anyway, long story. So I got sent there, or I wanted to go there, dumb of me, but it was a very American setup. You had dances and boys ask girls out. In the 2 years I was there, so all the girls would line up and the boys would come and ask. I would always...
Oh, for fuck's sake.
And I would always stand. I would be the only one standing on the wall because everyone got asked.
That's awful.
But in my defense, I was very funny. I got great grades. And then we had this one class and it was a drama class and it was with Mr. Weidman.
Yeah,
David Weidman, and he made all... He was very, very good at drama. So he made all of us write a journal. And they were very private, but he said it was good for acting. But because I was the straight A student, he would let me carry his books from homeroom to his office. Yeah. I once read everyone's.
You were not in the cool group.
No.
Like before we get into reading them, teacher was like encouraging you to carry the books.
Yeah, no, but I was in the cool group like during lunch. They'd be like, oh, come over here and I'd tell a joke and it would be fun. I didn't hang out with them all the time because they were always making out.
Okay.
With each other.
So whose diaries did you read?
Oh, I read the diaries of the most popular boys. In fact, the boy in my class was very popular, Mohit Sagar. Mohit, if you're listening to this, you know already. He's now a very dear friend of mine. He came to my wedding. He was one of the witnesses.
Oh, Mohit. Oh,
yeah,
great.
Mohit. But anyway, I read his journal.
What
and he was such
say?
A baby about the girl that he liked. And he didn't know if she liked him back.
God.
and he was such a tough guy at school. I was like, you are joking me. So in a way, I thought, what? Because I was like, I'm cooler than this. And then one day he said something to me in class, and I looked at him, and I literally quoted one of his lines from his journal.
You bitch!
Oh yeah. I never said I was nice. I said I was.
No, we didn't. No one was. No one.
I quoted him. No one else knew what the line was, and I quoted it to him, and he was like, "Oh," and I said all of it. And then he just never said anything to me again.
Whoa!
Oh my God.
I know. In these days, it would be illegal because all consent and all. But then there was nothing.
Was it just like little chapters for each day was everyone writing?
Everyone just wrote their thoughts.
And their feelings. All the thoughts are pretty much the same, I'm guessing.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't read everyone's. I only read the people that I thought needed it to be put down a few notches.
Yeah, you needed that. Power.
Yeah, it was so much power. It was so malicious and awful, and I loved it.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.